Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. If you were to visit the Utah Christian Research Center in Draper, Utah, you would find that we have a display there that is focusing on the alleged translation of the gold plates into what became the Book of Mormon. And in this display, and Eric, I should mention that we tried to make this display look very close to a display that you and I both saw when we were visiting the area of Oakland, Pennsylvania, which was known earlier as Harmony, Pennsylvania. And why is that important? Well, it was because in Harmony, Pennsylvania, Joseph was living there with his wife, Emma, just down the street from her parents. And this is where Emma assisted Joseph Smith in the translation of the gold plates. Well, there is a display there showing a white-colored hat and what looks like gold plates covered up in a cloth of some sort. And there were other papers and things like that. And we were led to believe when we visited there that this is probably what it looked like when Joseph Smith was translating the gold plates with, at that time, his scribe by the name of Oliver Cowdery. Now, Oliver Cowdery was a distant cousin of Joseph Smith on his mother's side. Now, when I noticed the display, what I didn't think was accurate was it showed two chairs at this table side by side. And that would mean, at least you would think, that Oliver Cowdery, if he was being the scribe at that time, he would be able to see the gold plates that Smith was using at the time. But the fact is, that may not have been true because the plates were supposedly covered up and he was using the hat. And that's what we want to talk about this week, because there is an article in the March 2024 edition of the Liahona magazine. It's an article titled "The Miraculous Translation of the Book of Mormon," and it was written by Dr. Garrett Dirkmott. He's an associate professor of church history and doctrine at Brigham Young University. Now, Garrett Dirkmott also has a podcast. It's called the Standard of Faith podcast. Well, he was given the job to write this article about the miraculous translation of the Book of Mormon. And we want to go through his article and point out some things that probably, I would say, Eric, even a lot of Latter-day Saints may not be familiar with that aspect of history. So we're going to start by looking at U3. Now, that's an unusual page number in the Liahona. Why is that an unusual page number, Eric?
Because this is written specifically to the people of North America, Canada and the United States, and it is not going out to the rest of the world.
Why wouldn't you want the rest of your membership outside of Canada and the United States to know this story if, in fact, as the title states, it's a miraculous translation of the Book of Mormon?
It makes you wonder if perhaps this is a problem right now with many Latter-day Saints who are questioning the Book of Mormon and its translation processes. We certainly are big critics of the Book of Mormon. Perhaps they're reading material on the internet in English. Perhaps it's not as big of a problem in Europe, Africa, South America, etc. So that's a guess, but I'm just wondering if they'd rather keep this confined, because by bringing it up to the rest of the membership, maybe it's introducing material that they have no clue to criticize.
I think you're hitting that proverbial nail right on the head, especially since the last paragraph on page U3, it says, "Because the Book of Mormon is so central to believers, it is natural to wonder just how the miracle of its translation took place." My question is, Eric, why wouldn't a member in Mexico or Africa or New Zealand, why wouldn't they be wondering about the miraculous story of the translation? Why is the church hiding what we are about to look at from much of its own membership throughout the world?
Well, that's a big accusation we're making here, but at the same time, this information, in fact, there are two different articles on the Book of Mormon in this issue, and I'm going to suggest that this is never going to be printed in any other language than English. So even if there was an interested member who is wondering about the miracle of how the translation took place, unless they know English, they're not going to find this.
And I think, Eric, what you just did was threw down the gauntlet, and now somebody at the church, if they ever hear this radio show, they're going to say, hey, we're going to have to put this in another language because Eric Johnson said we would never do it. So if that happens, maybe we can credit you as the reason for it.
Because that would be good, Bill, because I'm going to suggest that the information we're going to discuss this week is going to very much put a lot of doubt into the story of how the Book of Mormon got translated. If this is even a way to be able to do a real translation of a language that we no longer have access to.
Well, what does it say? Let's go back to that bottom paragraph that I started, and why don't we begin again there?
Because the Book of Mormon is so central to believers, it is natural to wonder just how the miracle of its translation took place. While it is not possible to fully explain or understand a miracle wrought by the gift and power of God, which comes from the title page of the Book of Mormon, we can better understand the translation process by looking to the scriptures and the historical accounts left by the scribes, witnesses, and those close to Joseph Smith. These witnesses were certain Joseph Smith was a prophet of God and that the Book of Mormon is true.
Let me stop you there. How would they really know the Book of Mormon is true since nobody knows the language from which the Book of Mormon came from? Joseph Smith said that the characters on the plates were written in a Reformed Egyptian. How would anybody know that what Joseph Smith writes down is accurate if you don't know what Reformed Egyptian is? And there are obviously no experts in the field of Reformed Egyptian because nobody's ever heard of this before. The only reference we have to it is in the Book of Mormon itself, and you could say in the circles of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Nobody outside of it really talks about that.
This is what we call the power of suggestion. And let's just be honest, as we do this series this week, Joseph Smith was a very influential man. He was very charismatic. And it seemed like a lot of people around him, including his family and friends, would believe whatever he had to say about whatever the topic was.
Well, we're going to look at the next page. This is U4, and the subheading at the top of the page is, what do the scriptures say about the translation?
It says, when the angel Moroni first appeared to Joseph to tell him of the work that God had for him to do, Moroni explained, quote, that there were two stones deposited with the plates, and the possession and use of these stones were what constituted seers in ancient or former times, and that God had prepared them for the purpose of translating the book, end quote. And that comes from the Pearl of Great Price, Joseph Smith History, chapter 1, verse 35.
Now, most of the time when we talk about these two stones, they're described as being like spectacles. And Joseph Smith would allegedly look through them. And by looking through these stones, these, I guess you could say they were transparent, but he's looking through them, and we get the impression that whatever was on the gold plates would be miraculously translated into English, at least in the eyes of Joseph Smith. And he would repeat what he read off of the plates to the scribe. The scribe would read it back, and then it would go on. Have you ever seen a picture of Joseph Smith looking through these spectacles? Well, I know we have seen that. There is a picture of him doing that. But how often do we ever see Joseph Smith looking through this kind of a device while translating the Book of Mormon? Most of the times when we see Joseph Smith translating the plates, at least years ago, such as on the cover of that Ensign magazine.
That's February of 2001 on the cover.
And he's looking at the plates, and there's other pictures of Joseph Smith looking at the plates. He doesn't have anything in front of his eyes. He doesn't even have this breastplate that the Mormon history talks about, where these spectacles were attached to. But he's looking at the plates as if he's reading the plates without any device whatsoever. Why do you think that is? Why do you think the church would not put those spectacles on the cover of the Ensign magazine?
Well, I think partly because it would look silly for most people. And I don't think most Latter-day Saints even think about the Urim and Thummim or any kind of spectacles, because they're used to the kind of art that I just mentioned from the February 2001 Ensign magazine, that all he had to do was look at it. He's putting his finger to the gold plates and he's running across them, and then it makes sense. He's translating those, giving those to one of the three scribes that actually wrote down the words that he said the plates had.
Remember when we were visiting the Palmyra Visitor Center? And we always made it a point when we were asked, where are you from? And we, of course, would say Utah. And we know they're thinking, if we're from Utah, that we're probably members. And we always made it a point, we are not members of the church. We are evangelical Christians. We're just interested in your history. And this is why we're visiting these sites, to hear you tell your history. Remember when we went to the Palmyra Visitor Center and we were handed off to a gentleman? And he took us over to this picture, a big painting, a very famous picture within LDS circles, of Joseph Smith and Oliver Cowdery translating the plates. And Oliver could see the plates. If that really happened, he would have been able to see the gold plates. And remember, the gentleman that was giving us the tour, right off the bat, said that he didn't like that painting. And of course, we're wondering, why wouldn't he like that? Now, we know, but we thought, let him answer. He said that's not the way it was done. And he's absolutely correct. But see, there again, there's the artwork that is misleading a lot of their own people. That's not the way it was done. Oliver Cowdery did not have view of the gold plates during the translation process, but yet here was a painting that was suggesting that he did. This is very problematic, because we find in talking with a lot of Latter-day Saints that they understand their history through artwork. And you would think, if that's a problem here in the United States, it's got to be a problem in foreign countries as well, especially if those foreign countries don't have all of the written text that we have available to us living here in the United States, and especially living in Utah. We have the explanations written down, whereas in other countries, they might not have that reference.
You're bringing out a great point, Bill. And so let's say you do live in Africa, Uganda. I mean, how much of the primary information, like history of the church and other documents that have been put together by the church, have been translated into that? Again, you're going to have to know English to be able to do full research into what the church has taught for over a century.
Tomorrow, we're going to continue looking at this article. Again, it was found in the March 2024 edition of the Liahona magazine. It was titled The Miraculous Translation of the Book of Mormon, written by Dr. Garrett Dirkmott, who is the Associate Professor of Church History and Doctrine at Brigham Young University.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.